Before I preach, I'd like to read you a short track that I found at my father's church called How to Kill Your Church. I thought it was interesting. It'll take about 2-3 minutes here. First of all, it says, don't come. If you do come, come late. When you come, come with a grouch. At every service, ask yourself, what do I get out of this? Never accept an office. It's better to stay outside and criticize. Visit other churches about half the time to show your pastor that you're not tied down to him. There's nothing like independence. Let the pastor earn his money. Let him do all the work. Sit pretty well back and never sing. If you have to sing, sing out of tune and behind everybody else. Never pay in advance, especially for religion. Wait until you get your money's worth, and then wait a bit longer. Never encourage the preacher. If you like a sermon, keep mum about it. Many a preacher has been ruined by flattery. Don't let his blood be on your head. It's good to tell your pastor's failings to any strangers that may happen in. They might be a long time finding them out. Of course, you can't be expected to get new members to the church with such a pastor as he is. If there happens to be a few zealous workers in the church, make a tremendous protest against the churches being run by a clique. If your church unfortunately happens to be harmonious, call it apathy or indifference or lack of zeal or anything under the sun except what it is. I thought that was interesting. Hopefully none of us came tonight with those attitudes. Let's pray before we look at God's word. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to share thy word. Lord, we thank you that your word is settled in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that does not lie. You're not as men, but God, your word is true, and it will always be true. We thank you, Lord, that though we do not have talents of our own, yet we can proclaim the word of God. And Lord, we just ask you now to meet these folks' needs. There's a good number of folks here tonight. Each one, Lord, I'm sure, has a special need. And Lord, I cannot address every need that they have. But Lord, I'm thankful that your Holy Spirit can take the message and can speak to hearts and lives and meet individual needs. Lord, we pray about a revival. God, won't you bless starting this Sunday morning? God, how we need you to speak to us and teach us, Lord, and draw us to you. How we need to see real revival. Lord, I've never seen the type of revival that preachers talked about in my time. Lord, I'd love to see a time when your Spirit is poured out and Christians are obedient and the lost are saved, Lord. Won't you just work in a special way through Dr. Comfort? And then, Lord, bless this time we have together. May you be exalted. Lord, hide me behind thy cross. We pray that it would be a message that would motivate us, Lord, to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about the only miracle Christ performed that is recorded in all four Gospels. The only one that's recorded in all four Gospels. It took place in the early spring of the third year of Christ's ministry and was the high point of his Galilean ministry. I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. That's page 784 in the Living Bible. For those that were here Sunday morning or Sunday night. That's a private joke. It's the old Schofield, page 1053. You that are visiting think we're apostate. We're really not. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. We'll read 14 verses. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing. And many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. This is indeed a great miracle, and it shows God's power, Jesus Christ's power, over the physical realm. But tonight I want you to see not Christ's power, the physical realm, but I want you to see a great hunger that the world has. And it's not a physical hunger, although there are many people that are hungry physically. Tonight I want you to see the world's spiritual hunger. And I'm going to entitle the message from the words of Christ, "Give ye them to eat." Give ye them to eat. 3 points tonight. Be very easy for you. They all start with I. Since I'm an illiterate preacher, I alliterate them for you. And the first one is an impossible situation. Some of you are asleep tonight. I'm going to have to slow down, I guess. I'm having a rough time here. The first point, an impossible situation. As you come to this passage of Scripture, John the Baptist has just been beheaded. Christ's disciples have been out teaching. They're tired. They're weary. It said they worked so hard they didn't have time to eat. Now, I've never come to that point in my life. Not very often. Probably most of us haven't. But they were working very hard. The crowd was so great, the need was so great, that they could not even find time to eat. And so Christ got on board a ship, and they were in the city of Capernaum, which is the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee, and they traveled by water to another place called a desert place, the city of Bethsaida. Now, it's interesting that as the people saw Christ get into this boat, they said, "Hey, we want to be where Christ is." That's pretty good, isn't it? And they took off by foot, and it says they outwent them. In other words, they got there first. They outran the Lord Jesus Christ's boat, and they got to his destination before he did. And so these folks had spent a great deal of energy. They just run 4 or 5 miles, and that would kill most of us. But they were in good shape. They didn't have cars back then. And they ran, and they had spent a great deal of energy. And then when they got there, Christ began to preach to them. Remember, they'd had breakfast, and that was about it. They'd spent all day hearing preaching. About 3 o'clock, Christ's disciples said, "Lord, these folks are hungry. We've got to feed them. Let's send them away to the villages where they can eat." And Christ, it says in Matthew, continued to preach. Continued to preach. So all day long now, they've spent a great deal of energy. They're tired. They're hungry. They haven't eaten. And they have a great need. They're very hungry people. Very hungry. Not only do they have a need, but there was a great number of them. And because of this great number, it was an impossible situation. The Bible says there were 5,000 men. Now, we don't know how many women and children there were, but I'm sure there must have been some there. But we'll just stay with 5,000. That's a pretty good number. 5,000 men. Now, how much food do you need to feed 5,000 people? Well, in John chapter 6, Philip estimates about 200 pennyworth. Now, pennyworth is equal to a denarius. A denarius is a day's wage, so that's 200 days' wage. If you're good in math, that's about, what, 7 months. That's quite a bit of money. 7 months. They didn't have that kind of money. These folks had a great need. Where were they going to get that much bread to feed 5,000 people? It was an impossible situation. It was also impossible because of location. It said they were in a desert. Now, this is not like the Sahara Desert, or one of these dry, sandy deserts. This is a uninhabited. See, if you guys are quick, you would have caught that. Uninhabited place where there weren't, you know, didn't have shopping malls, didn't have bakeries, you know. They couldn't go down to the local flour bakery down here and get some day-old bread and feed everybody. Hey, they had problems. How were they going to feed 5,000 people? It wasn't possible. Here was an impossible situation because of the need, the number, and the location. But folks, we face a more impossible situation today in meeting the world's spiritual needs. First of all, because of the need. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Hey, the fact is, folks, every person without Christ all around us is lost, and if they die in that condition, they will go to hell. That's the simple truth. That's the sad fact. And every man, every girl, every boy, every woman that's born into this world who doesn't have Christ is lost. Boy, I wish that would sink into my life. To realize that every person I talk to every day, if they don't have Christ, they are hopeless. They are helpless. They are lost. They're lost. What a great need folks have today. Folks you rub shoulders with today at work, they have not Christ, are on their way to hell. They're lost. not just a physical hunger that will go away. No, it's a spiritual hunger that if it's not met, will last for eternity. And you work by people today. I talked to people today as I was visiting who were lost and would go to hell if they don't find Christ. They're helpless. They have no hope. I see in Ephesians 2, it says, without Christ, there is no hope. No hope whatsoever. Folks, the need is so great. All around us, there are people that are dying and people that are lost. People that unless we help them, will never have their needs met. What about their number? Now, I went to the Johnson City Library and I checked out the World Almanac. It took me 5 hours to find it, but we finally found it there and we got it, you know, behind the comic books and the Sports Illustrated. And got the World Almanac and I found out some interesting facts. Today, there are 5.2 million or billion people in the world. And that doesn't mean much to me, 5.2 billion. I don't deal with those kind of numbers. And so let's try to narrow it down a little bit. In the United States, there are 248 million people. Again, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. I'm not a big financier. I don't work with millions of dollars. I work with tens and twenties. In Tennessee, however, there are 4.6 million, just in the state of Tennessee, 4.6 million. In Washington County, now we'll just bring it right down to where we live. In Washington County, there are 89,000 people. And in Sullivan County, 144,000. Just in those two counties alone, 233,000 people. That's a lot of folks. 233,000 people. What a great number. How can we reach them all? What an impossible situation. 5.2 billion people in the world. And every one of them will die and go to hell unless they hear about Christ. Every one of them. Every 233,000 people in Sullivan and Washington County, if we don't tell them about Christ, if they die and go, they'll go straight to hell, folks. 233,000. Let's look at how many people are dying in the United States last year. Think of this. 2,167,000 people died last year, United States. I'm sorry, did I say 2 million? Yes, 2 million. There were 3 million born. How about in Tennessee? In Tennessee, just a state, one state out of 50, 47,000 people died last year. Now, if you're good at math, which I'm not, but I can even figure this out, that means every 10 minutes in the state of Tennessee, one person dies. On an average, every 10 minutes, we'll be here for an hour. Six people have died in that time, on an average. Every 10 minutes, someone is dying. And I've heard the figure that in the world, every second, someone is dying. Every breath, someone dies. All around us. What an impossible situation. And it's made even more impossible by the location of these folks. You realize there are 7 continents in this world, and there are over 173 nations. I can't even pronounce half of them. 173. Do you realize there are over 224 languages spoken in the world today? And that only includes the languages that a million or more people speak. It doesn't include all the dialects and different things. What an impossible situation. Folks, we cannot reach the world. It's impossible. It's just as impossible for us to reach the world as it was for Christ and his disciples to feed 5,000 people. An impossible situation. Secondly, I'd like you to see a logical suggestion. Christ says, all right, fellas, feed them. Oh, great. 5,000 people, nothing to feed them, out in the middle of the desert, and God says, all right, feed them. He said, give ye them to eat. Give ye them to eat. How would you like to be one of the disciples? You know, give ye them to eat. 5,000 people. So these guys said, hey, I'll tell you what, we'll walk around this crowd, and we'll find all the food that everybody's got. And we'll rendezvous back here, and we'll find out what we've got here and feed these folks. They got back at 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Stop and think now for a moment. We've got 5,000 people. We've got 5 loaves. How many people per loaf? That's 1,000 people for each loaf of bread. This was barley bread. I think it's like the 7-grain bread the preacher eats. The preacher, I don't believe that stuff you eat would feed 1,000 men with one loaf. Probably won't feed Calvin, I would think, one loaf. But hey, listen, 5,000 people and you've got 5 loaves of bread. In bad shape. But they got some fish too. Yeah, boy, they were out looking, they found some fish. They found 2. That means you've got 1 fish for every 2,500 men. I'm glad I wasn't the chef, man. You've been murdered. You set that kind of stuff out in front of people. And this was probably something, a salted type fish or something like that. Pickled fish I use as a relish, just to eat along with a bite of bread. And they were in bad shape, folks. I mean, here's Christ saying, all right, find what you can, and you feed them. And they come up with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They're in bad shape. Bad shape. And they can't run down to the local supermarket and buy bread. They can't go to the bread store. They can't go to John City to, the Rainbow Bakery in John City, and they can't order a bunch of bread. They're in bad shape. That's what Christ said to do. Christ also said to us, give you them to eat, spiritually. Matthew 20:19-20, go ye therefore and teach how many nations? What's the word? All nations. All nations. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and teach every. Hey, Acts 1:18, he said, go unto what parts of the earth? The uttermost parts of the earth. What did Christ tell us to do, folks? He said, give you them to eat, in a spiritual sense. Give you them to eat. What are our resources? Again, I went to my friendly almanac, and I found that there are 332 million Protestants in the world. Now, don't get your hopes up, folks. Let me tell you who the Protestants are. Lutherans, Reformed, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Mennonites, Unitarians, Baptists, Quakers, and Methodists. Now, your guess is as good as mine about how many of those are actually saved. I'm going to be kind, and I'm going to say 1/3. I'd say it's probably a whole lot lower than that. But just for sake of the sermon, we'll say 1/3. That means that we'd have 100 million saved people and 5.2 billion in the world. That means that each of us, as Christians, if we had 100 million of us, need to reach 50 people for Christ. 50 people. Now that doesn't take into account all the people being born and dying and all the shift in population. That, I mean, just right now, if we could reach the whole world right now, if we had 100 million of us, we'd each have to reach 50. Now I'll tell you what, there's probably not many of us, I'd say none of us, in this year, we're halfway through the year, have reached 50 people. I would be surprised if there were many of us, more than 2 or 3, and I do not include myself, who have reached 25 people for Christ this year. There may be a few. There may be a few. Most of us have not even reached 10. Most have not reached 5. And many of us have not reached 1 for Christ in 1989. And yet God told us to feed the world spiritually. So he said to do. He said, go into all the world. Preach to every creature. Have you reached your 50 yet? I cannot say that I have. I cannot say that I reached 25. See? The job's not getting done. Job not getting done. Christ has an incredible solution. And this will be where we'll spend most of our time. this is the last point. We've got 15 minutes. We'll make it. Hang in there. Feeding the 5,000. First of all, I want to give you 4 facts about this feeding the 5,000. First of all, we find a boy that gave us lunch. He gave all he had. Now, stop and think. Do you think that boy was the only one out of 5,000? Now, there are 5,000 men and ladies and children. Do you think that was the only lunch that was available? I don't think so. Now, I can't prove this scripturally. You can't prove it. It wasn't either, so, you know, we're even. But I find it hard to believe in a crowd that size that that was all the food they had. I really wonder if some of them, when they said, all right, who's got food here? Let's find out. Some didn't go, who, me? What lump under my coat? No, I don't have any food. I have to wonder about that. I have to wonder what I would have done, you know? Hey, listen, if they're going to take my lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed all these people, I'm not going to get much. But that boy gave us lunch. He said, all right, I'll sacrifice all I have for Christ. Gave the whole lunch. What happened? Christ took it, and it says he blessed it. He blessed it. He took that lunch and he blessed the lunch. And I think probably he did like we do. We thank the Lord for our food and we sit down to eat. Well, you should. And I think in so doing, he put his stamp of approval on that food. and he blessed it, and then he said he'd break it. Now, I don't know where the miracle occurred. I wasn't there. I don't know if when he started breaking that bread, he just kept breaking and just kept breaking and kept breaking, or if they broke a little bit and put it in the baskets, and as the people took it, it just kept being more and more. I don't know where the miracle occurred. But somewhere along the line, after he broke it, they gave it out to the multitude, and it's an amazing fact to me that everybody got as much as they wanted. Isn't that something? Everybody got as much as they wanted, and they went around, they collected all the food, and they had food that was left over. That's a miracle. Hey, when you take 5 loaves and 2 fishes, folks, you feed 5,000 people and their families, and you've got food left over, and everybody's full, that's an amazing miracle. That's an amazing miracle. But that's what God did. That was his incredible solution. Now let's make some application. How are we going to feed the world? How are we going to feed the world? First of all, we must give ourselves to God. We must do as that young boy who had a lunch, and we must give ourselves to God. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what? Body. Body. Present yourself. Present yourself. You see, God calls you, folks, to give yourself. Now, I'll never forget, last week I came to work for devotion at 9 o'clock, and the parking lot was full of people. There were cars everywhere. And there was a line outside the preacher's office. Must have been 100 people standing in line. And they were all crying. And I thought, what in the world is going on? And I walked into the preacher's office, and the preacher was walking up and down, waving his arms, not knowing what to do. And I, being a good assistant, of course, I came to help him. And I said, preacher, what's wrong? Did somebody die? You know, we had some terrible tragedy. He said, no, all these people outside my door want something to do in our church, and I can't find anything for them to do. And I said, well, preacher, we can put more people in the choir. I thought, nope, can't do that. Choir loft's full. We'd have to knock walls out to put anybody else in the choir. And I thought, well, I've got to help the preacher out here. He's really in trouble. I know, we've got a big Sunday school program. Surely we need people to work in Sunday school. He said, nope, got all the teachers we can handle. Can't use any more teachers. I thought some more. I thought, I'll help Mr. Bill out. I bet we need some bus captains, some bus workers. He said, nope, we've got 12 bus captains, 12 bus drivers. We've got 3 or 4 adults riding a bus every Sunday. I said, man. What are we going to do with all these people out here that want to do something in the church? I said, preacher, I know. We've got neighborhood Bible time coming up. I bet you we can use them. He said, no. He said, we've got all the Bible teachers, all the missionary teachers, all the bus drivers, all the bus workers, all the refreshing people. We've got more people we can use in neighborhood Bible time. I said, well, how about visitation? Surely on Thursday night visitation we can use more people. He said, no, we've already got 200 people on Thursday night visitation. Can't find a place to send them. Now, how many believe that story? If you do, I can sell you some land in the Everglades. Folks, that has never happened. I don't believe it will ever happen. I've never been to a church in my life where to walk up to the preacher and said, you know, preacher, I'd like to do something in the church. He said, I'm sorry. Everybody's working in our church and there's just nothing for you to do. I'm sorry. However, I've been in many, many churches, and I've been in meetings in this church where we've sat down and said, now we need a new teacher in this department. Who could we get? We get out the Rolodex. We start flipping through. No, no. We've already talked to them. They wouldn't do it. No, they've got a picnic every Sunday. They can't do it. No, they're afraid of kids. They can't do it. You know? And I've been in meetings with Mr. Bill and the preacher, and we said, well, we need a bus captain for this bus route. What can we do? And we thought, well, maybe they... No, no, they wouldn't do it. No. We've talked to them before 3 times. Even sent them nasty letters and they still wouldn't do it. You know? I've been in those kind of meetings. In fact, I was one of those last week, or maybe it was this week. We needed a teacher. We couldn't think of somebody right offhand. There's a great lack of workers. Now, why do you think that is? I bet I know what happened. Probably God forgot that we're going to need people to drive buses. He probably just slipped his mind. I'm not trying to be irreverent. Do you think God didn't have somebody for these jobs? Do you think God doesn't have anybody to work in NBT or to go on visitation or sing the choir or work in the Sunday school? I think he does. But I believe there are some folks who said when God spoke to them, didn't offer themselves like that young boy with the lunch. See, he said, I'll do it. He said, I'll give my lunch. I'll do it. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Christ compares the church to a body. And as a body, certain body parts have certain functions. My hand has certain functions, my feet have. And we've got some feet in our church that aren't walking. We have some hands in our churches that aren't working. We've got some mouths in our churches that aren't singing and are not telling. See? Because God has something for you to do. And God has something for me to do. And the reason we're not feeding the multitude, I believe, first of all, is because many of us will not offer ourselves. I like Genesis chapter 24, where Abraham's servant went to try to find a wife for Isaac. And I like what he said. He said, I being in the what? Being in the way. I just got in the way. I mean, you know, that's all I did. I just went and said, all right, God, show me what I'm supposed to do. And he did. Just got in the way. Just got moving. Now, although I'm a seaman, I'm not a sailor. That may be confusing. And I don't know much about seamanship. However, I do know if a boat's not moving, it's very difficult to steer it. God wants some folks to get moving. He wants us to be active. He wants us to be out there doing something for him so he can direct us. First thing to reach the world, I believe, is each of us, and I include myself, need to present ourselves to Christ. Secondly, I believe that we need God's blessing. Remember, he said he took the loaves and he blessed them. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:21. 2 Timothy 2:21. This is a tremendous verse. Second Timothy 2:21. I want you to see how to get God's blessing. 2 Timothy 2:21. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, in other words, if he cleans himself up, gets himself straightened out, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, notice this next phrase, I love this phrase, it'd be a great message, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, Timothy, folks, we've got to get our lives cleaned up. We've got to get to a point where God can use us. We've got to purge ourselves from sin. We've got to purge ourselves from the love of the world. We've got to get to a point where we're vessels unto honor. And you know what I want to be? I want to be meet for the master's use. Don't you? I want to be somebody God can use. I want to be somebody when God says, you know, I've got a job down there. I wonder who I can have do it. Oh, they're seamen. I'll have him do it. But I wonder how many times in my life God has said, nah, can't you see him? And he's got sin in his life. Nah, can't you see him? And he's not willing. Too busy doing something that doesn't count. Meat for the master's use. Hey, don't you want to be meat for God's use? Don't you want to be somebody God can use? We've got to clean up our lives, folks. We've got to clean them out, clean them up. And then I think we need to seek for God's blessing. And as I was studying some more today, the Lord spoke to you about Jacob. Remember in Genesis 32 when Jacob was wrestling with the angel, and he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I said, Lord, I want to be that kind of person. I want to be, and I'm not, but I want to be the kind of person that wrestles with God and said, oh God, bless me, God, bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Can you imagine that? What if we had a church full of people who were pure and had offered themselves and said, oh God, bless me. And we just hung on to God and hung on to God until God said, all right, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. Got to seek the Lord's blessing. Song says, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me. Now, my Savior, I come to thee. How we need folks with God's blessing. Oh, how I want God to bless my life. How I want God to be able to bless me. Not because I'm perfect. I know I can't be perfect. But because I want to do right. I want to please him. We need people, first of all, who've offered themselves. Secondly, people with God's blessing in their life. Thirdly, I believe we need people who've gone through God's breaking. Remember, he took the bread, and what did he do? He broke it. Breaking is never any fun, difficult, trying process. When God looks down at our lives and says, you know, Seaman's got a little rough edge there, need to work off. Need to put him through some refining. Need to heat him up a little bit. Get rid of that dross. Remember what Job said? He says, when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. As gold. The refining fire. Now, I didn't know the preacher was going to be here. Well, I did the last couple days, but when I was planning. But, you know, in watching the preachers, one thing I've noticed, the preacher's gone through several major medical trials since I've been here. With his lung situation, with the heart situation. You know something I've noticed? His preaching is always stronger and more powerful after his great trials. You notice that? Maybe you haven't. I have. I've noticed that. And the reason is I believe that God has put him through the mill. God has worked him over and taken him and broken him, and then God gives him greater power. And it's true in our lives too. But a lot of times what we do is we say, God, I'm not going to let you do that to me. No, I'm not going to do that. I won't let you do that to me. Instead of let God work the rough edges on, we rebel and we get worse than we were before. Hey, before God can use us often, he has to take us through a breaking process, a refining process, a painful process, Fourthly, I think we need some people that if they'll do these things, they'll give yourself to God. If you'll seek God's blessing, if you go through God's breaking process, we're going to have a happy place around here. We're going to have some rejoicing. Hey, what do you think happened to that young boy after that was all over? I bet he walked home.
Man, I took my lunch. Could you believe it? Man, I can't believe it. I didn't get any food. I took my lunch.
No, he did not. I bet he ran all the way home and said, Mom, Dad, you'll never guess what happened. Jesus took my lunch and he fed 5,000 people with my lunch. My lunch, Mom. My 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I bet he was excited. You know the excited and happy people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? It's the one sitting on the pew.
I'm not going to teach no Sunday school class. Can't make me visit anybody.
Those aren't the happy ones. Who are the ones that give testimonies and testimony meetings? I'll tell you who. The ones that are busy. In Luke chapter 15, we have the story of three lost things. The lost coin, lost son, the lost sheep. In every instance, what happens? When it was found, there was rejoicing. Every time when they found the lost son, when he came home, his father killed the fatted calf, and there was great rejoicing. Great rejoicing. When they found the lost coin, when the lady found the lost coin, great rejoicing. When they found the lost sheep, great rejoicing. Psalm 126, what happens when someone gets saved? You bring your sheaves with you, and you're rejoicing. Hey, you're not happy? Do something for God. Offer yourself for God's service. Get busy for God. Let God bless you. Let God give some rejoicing in your life. Final illustration, I think, of Abraham when he offered Isaac. Well, what a tremendous miracle. Yeah, they go up, they're going up that mountain, and Abraham tells Isaac, hey, carry the wood, let's go up here, we're going to sacrifice on top of this mountain. And they get up there, and Isaac says, Father, where's the sacrifice? I liked his father's answer, God will provide a lamb. And he ties him up, puts him on the altar, he's ready to kill his only son, the son of promise, the son that Israel would come through. And he raises the knife, and God says, wait, stop. And there was a ram in the bush. Now, how do you think they came down the hill? Boy, it sure is hot today. Man, this serving the Lord sure is tough. No, sir, I don't think so. Now, I don't know if Abraham could skip or not, but they were excited. I'd say they were rejoicing. Boy, God had provided in a miraculous way. What a tremendous thing. They were happy people. Why? They'd seen God work. You want to be rejoicing, you want to be happy, do something for God. Now, folks, listen. This message is for me, too. I'm not here to berate anybody. I need this myself. But, folks, the world is lost. That's a simple fact. The world is lost and dying and going to hell. What are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? Have you offered yourself for God's service? You say, I don't know what I can do. That's all right. Come to the preacher and offer yourself for service. He'll find something for you to do. There's plenty to do. People say, well, you can go to a big church, you know, there's nothing to do. Hey, that's wrong. There's more things to do in this church than almost any church I've been to. There's a multitude of things to do. Offer yourself for God's service. Get in the place where God can bless you. Let's clean up our lives. Let's examine our hearts. Like David, search me, O God, and know my heart. Hey, let's clean it up so God can bless us. And then seek God's blessing. Then let God break you. Oh, I know it's not easy. The breaking times of my life have not been easy times. But they're times that bring forth more fruit. And if you do those things, I guarantee God will give you fruit and you'll be rejoicing. Now, what is it tonight in your life? What is tonight in my life that's keeping us from experiencing God's blessing? I challenge you. I encourage and exhort you. Let's take care of it tonight. Let's put it on the altar. Let's offer ourselves. Let's clean ourselves up. Let's get God's blessing and be rejoicing Christians. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank these folks and their good attention tonight. God, you've challenged me with this message anew, Lord, that I need to reach the lost for you. God, I need to offer myself, and Lord, I know I'm in full-time Christian service, but God, it's easy to let the world go by and let them die and go to hell. God, oh, help us, I pray, Lord, to be people, God, who would give ourselves to you, that the multitude would be fed. Lord, you said, give them to eat. Help us, Lord, to be giving the food for folks to eat. While your heads are bowed, I won't take much time. But I wonder if there's one tonight that said, Brother Gary, I'm not even saved. And I didn't preach a salvation message so much. But you say, I'm one of the ones that I'm lost. I don't want to go to hell. And I'd like you to pray for me. And I'd like you just to raise your hand and put it right back down. I won't call your name or anything. Anyone like that very quickly say, Brother Gary, I'm not even saved. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that very quickly? Let's move on. I wonder if there's someone here tonight that said, Brother Gary, I haven't even offered myself yet, but I want to tonight. Tonight, I want to make myself available to God. I want to make myself available to God, and I'm going to seal it by raising my hand, and I'd like to pray for you. Is there someone like that who say, tonight, I'm going to offer myself for God's service? Quickly, we don't have much time. Is anyone like that? So I'm going to offer myself. I'm going to get busy for God. Anyone like that? Lord, speak to hearts, I pray. God, again, thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for saving me. I thank you, Lord, that heaven is real. And Lord, that you saved me to go there someday. And Lord, I pray you'd use our church. Pray you use these people, Lord, for thy word. And God, won't you send us revival? Lord, how we need revival. Won't you bless Brother Comfort and Brother Brubaker as they come? And use them, God, to minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.